worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
Yeah, guess what, man? The crap in your pants is real, though.
Ian Hunter.
Hey, at least I'm no longer the palest guy in this room.
Mickey.
They're gonna die anyways. Somebody's gonna eat them.
And Lazy E.
Haha, didn't happen here.
That's exactly.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
We are coming to you in your ear, directly into your mind. It's a freak accident, and my name is Crisco. I am the host of this program. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to us. And of course, I would be nothing if not for the people who feel like putting up with me on this show every week. I've got Lazy E here.
Yeah, what's going on?
And I've got Mickey here.
I'm really confused because I'm in the wrong seat.
Yeah, Mickey's in the wrong seat because our fourth dude, who's normally here with us, Ian Hunter, is absent this episode. So we're down one man. That's okay, though. Mickey, you're just going to have to be twice the man that Ian is.
That's not hard.
Come on.
But the good thing is, if we need a new name change and Ian continues missing, we could be two guys, a girl, and a podcast.
That's right.
Perfect.
Although we have the website and the logo and all the investment into a freak accident at this point, so it'd be kind of tough to go back now.
Yeah.
Speaking of that website, afreakaccident.com. If you want to reach out to the show, we have a very easy way for you to do that via email.
Ooh.
Send an email to freaks@afreakaccident.com. We would love to hear from you, whether you like the show or don't like the show. Either way, just getting in touch with you would be awesome. And speaking of getting in touch, when you're at our website, click connect on the menu bar. You'll find links to all of our sites, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, all that stuff. You can follow us, like us, interact with us all week long.
I started choking and I tried to hold it in. Sorry.
I noticed. Yeah, your eyes bugged out a little bit. I thought you were, gonna go flatline on us there. It didn't happen that way though.
Yeah. Thought there was a bad joke in there somewhere.
I'm sure there was. There always is with him.
No, there is.
So anyway, find us on social media. Interact with us during the week. And don't forget, if you want to get us automatically delivered to you every week without having to track us down, iTunes. Subscribe.
Yeah.
Leave us a good review or a good rating or both. That would be even better. Help us climb the charts. And if you're an Android user, we are also now on Google Play Music. You can find us there. And really, anywhere you can download podcasts, which includes Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, any place, really. But thank you for being here. Now, we got a great episode planned for you today. Interviews, ahoy. We're going to have...
ahoy, Captain!
Yeah, ahoy, yeah. We got an interview coming up later on. We're going to have a bunch of stuff tonight, or today, whenever you're listening. It's tonight when we're recording this. Shut up, leave me alone. It's been a long day, okay? It's been a long day. But I'm happy to be here, because this is my weekly getaway, is this program.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Ian, it was his just getaway.
Yeah, because he's not... Why isn't he here again?
His new job.
What kind of an excuse is that?
I don't know.
It seems like a lame excuse. Yeah. Who works?
He's locked in the door.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't even finish it.
He is. He's probably locked inside his bedroom.
Either that or he's locked in his new job. He hasn't figured out how the automatic sliding doors work yet, so he's like, ah, no!
So, listener, if you're new, Ian's an idiot.
That's true, yeah. Actually, no, he's working at FYE now, which means at the mall, the gate comes down when the store closes at the end of the night, so he's trapped in a cage now.
But that's not an excuse because the store hasn't closed yet.
That's true.
Huh.
I'm sure he's found a way to get lost in the
aisles.
He's
locked in the office.
I'll do a little plug for Ian. Do you know what he's lost in? All the deals!
He got his tie stuck in like a register or something. He's like, how do you open this drawer?
It's another door. Damn you. Oh, my goodness.
Poor Ian. Well, this is what happens when you miss an episode of the show, pal.
Yeah.
You get ragged on. That's how it goes.
Whole show.
Except Mickey. When Mickey missed, she was actually on assignment, so she had a good show-specific reason to not be here.
Yeah, I went on vacation.
Well, to WrestleMania, though.
This
and
is
you brought back stories and things.
And unicorn horns.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That negated anything bad.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right. Yeah, we weren't going to say anything bad. We knew you were going to bring us treats. So, Ian, on the other hand, what's he going to bring next week? Just his face. Who wants that?
Ugh. Gross. He is so ugly. My God.
No, that is not true.
Yes, but... he is. He is just disgusting. Prove me wrong. Listener, email us, freaks@freakaccident.com.
You know, I kind of wonder if Ian hasn't heard of this survey. I mean, I'm sure he will have heard of it, you know, after this episode. I'll be there for you. Did you know that half of your friends, up to perhaps more than half of your friends, don't actually like you?
Oh.
I have friends.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Now, come on, we're your friends. We're the closest thing to friends you're going to get.
Right, closest thing to friends.
Yeah.
Well, at least half of us.
Right, yeah, there's only two of us here. There's only two of us here. Which one of us doesn't like you, Mickey?
And mind you, he also said, could be more.
Up to possibly more than half.
Yeah, so.
Ian is already the minority in that survey because all three of us don't like him.
Yeah. Just ugly and stupid.
Again, let this be a lesson to you, Ian, because I know he's going to be listening to this. Don't miss the show next time.
So why don't my friends like me?
Well, this isn't silence daily.
So, don't tell anybody.
I stumbled a little bit, but I recovered. Yes. Thank you.
Didn't recover, though.
No, you did not. No.
Science Daily is where we're getting this from, sciencedaily.com. This is a survey, a research survey, a study that was done recently that looked at friendship. Because most people think friendship is a two-way street, right?
That's what it is.
You show
if it is actually a friendship.
Right. You show affection, you get affection. That's how it's supposed to work. But it turns out half of your friends, according to this joint study, would consider you, half of your friends wouldn't consider you a friend back. Yeah, because apparently people have a very poor perception of friendship ties. This limits their ability to influence their friends, according to research published in PLOS One on March 22nd, 2016.
Well, you see, I don't have to have this problem. None of my friends wear ties. Who does that? Unless you're a salesperson. That's just stupid. You're just ridiculous.
Great. No. The research conducted extensive social experiments. It turns out that we're very bad at judging who our friends are. This is the whole thing. We have difficulty determining the reciprocity of friendship.
Ooh, big words.
I didn't write it. They did. This significantly limits our ability to engage in cooperative arrangements. Okay, because what they found was that 95% of participants thought their relationships were reciprocated.
Lack of communication.
That could be.
Yeah.
You don't talk about stuff enough. 95% of people thought, oh yeah, this person who I consider my friend is my friend, and they would say the same thing about me. Nope. Only 50% of the opposing people said, yes, that person is in fact my friend.
We should text people we know and try to see if this works.
Do you actually like me? What's the deal? Are we actually friends? Would you consider us actually legitimately friends?
I mean, I could.
Who are you talking to?
No, wait.
I hate that you have to be across from me right now. I like being across from E better.
Why? Because he can't look at
me very uncomfortable.
He can't look at you straight in the eye like I can. Is that why?
Yeah. You see, I just give you goofy faces. He gives you the questions. You're asked directly now.
I know. I prefer the goofy faces.
You're being interrogated now.
I know. So wait, who's asking the question for what?
I'm just asking in general. It's more so a what would you call that? Yeah, a rhetorical question.
I'm texting.
Don't want an answer. You already know the answer. Who are you texting?
I'm texting a group chat where a couple of my friends are in. I'm going to see what happens. I know the snarkiness that's going to happen.
Oh, great. I can't wait. How many of you guys actually like me? Go ahead, ask them.
Are you my friend?
That's interesting, though. How could it be that more than half of the people you consider friends don't consider you a friend back? Don't you think you... I mean,
lack of communication. You're not asking to find out if they're actually a friend.
This study is saying that we don't pick up on it properly. We don't judge our friendships rightly, and that's what leads to thinking that.
Well, yeah, duh.
Says the girl with no friends.
Well, I have no friends for a good reason.
Ah. I said, you have us, for whatever that's worth. If that means anything to you, I don't know.
All right, the text has been sent.
This is going to be great once they finally get back to us.
What if they don't? Because that's going to be
probably
sad.
Probably because it means none of them like you.
Oh, man. I really just put myself out on the ledge.
Yep.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to be jumping off that ledge if I don't get a reply back. My God.
Anybody got rope?
Why did I even do this? This is terrible, because now my heart's beating fast.
Is it?
Yeah, because I'm like sitting here, I'm like, what if they don't respond? Oh, we got two?
All right, good. We got answers already. The fact that they're replying is good.
Snarkiness.
So far, half. I've got an of course from JP, and Ed said no. I'm just gonna reply back to them and explain. Thank you.
God, listen, for science.
Listen to the next episode of the show to find out. So there you go. Half doesn't like you.
Wow. Well, that happened faster than I thought.
Think of the money you'll save on pizza, though, that you're not buying any for Ed anymore.
Oh, well, yeah, that's one person less.
WrestleMania viewing party is down by one. I got a spare seat on the couch.
Sweet. I'm set. Awesome. This is sad.
It is kind of sad. So, listener, we would urge you to look into your friends. Make sure you can trust them.
I don't trust either of you anymore.
Well, one of us is probably plotting against you.
I'm pretty sure I know it's Mickey. This is pretty obvious.
We established that on last week's show.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a lot smarter than she lets on. This is all just a scheme for her to do something nefarious, I'm sure. No comment whatsoever. She's just going to give me that confused look. Don't play that game with me. I can
I'm
see through it now.
It.
Yeah.
What, she's a Norse god? Nefarious.
That's no. What? That doesn't even make sense.
It makes total sense. It's a new.
You're not funny, and nobody likes you.
CM Punk, win a fight, and we'll talk. Come on.
It's too early for your bad jokes.
Oh, it's just in time.
It's too early. It's 7 o'clock at night when we're recording this.
I think she's trying to say something.
It's too early. It's too late. You know what? There's no good time for your jokes. That's her point.
Oh, I got another text. There's more people on this.
What do we got?
Joe said, only for the sake of radio. I'll take that as a half answer, so we're still at half.
So if you lost your radio job, then no, he would not like you.
Yeah, so hey, so far, we're good. I'm above average.
Not exactly unconditional love there.
I didn't ask unconditional. I just said friend. That is a superlative that we did not put in this.
You can invite me to concerts that you can get into for free. I like you just fine. Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just telling them they're all jerk-offs.
Well, there you have it. On today's episode of the show, because we'll be your friend, listener. Even if all of your friends hate you, we like you just fine. We're here to entertain you for a little while. We've got some situations involving air travel, and we're going to ask the question, what would you do?
Ooh.
Yeah, what would you do in these situations? We are going to, this has been being teased for 2 weeks now. And again, Ian misses out on a beautiful opportunity to make show history as we read our own obituaries written by us.
Oh, this is going to be sad and hilarious, I think.
I think it's more so going to be hilarious.
Unless one of us dies and this becomes like our last moment.
Oh, if this is my last will and testament, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I will have accomplished something in my life if this is what gets printed in the newspaper. We've got an interview with a WWE legend.
Oh.
She's a fitness model, and she is an actress. Trish Stratus is going to be on A Freak Accident a little bit later on.
I don't know how you did it, Crisco. How did you hold it together?
I don't know either. I have no clue. My first big celebrity crush, Lazy E, and I interviewed her, and I did not explode from hormones and frustration.
Murderer's 13-year-old self said the same thing.
Ah, see? Yeah. I think every kid watching wrestling in that era felt the same way, probably. But we're going to talk to Trish. She's in a new movie that's out on DVD now. We'll get into all those details later. We've got terrible pickup lines that people have revealed actually worked.
Oh,
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, bad pickup lines that legitimately worked and paid off. So maybe we're going to help improve your love life a little bit, listener. And then, of course, we have to talk about the NBA championships, and we had Money in the Bank this past weekend, too. So a little sports segment in there for you as well. We're coming at you from all sides on this episode of A Freak Accident. We're glad to have you here.
Outperformed.
Do you realize what would happen if you missed an episode of A Freak Accident? Well, probably nothing. But knowing us, you really don't want to risk finding out.
Somber, sweet, and sour chain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Flesh spiked with pain.
Quick note before we start this segment.
Yes, sir.
I got the final response from the person in that group chat.
Oh, okay. About your friendship.
Yeah, he said, we'd be better friends if you wore jorts.
So I'm going to take that as a no, then.
I'll just start wearing jorts all the time. That's fine. But he said better friend. So which means we're friends, just not as good.
Good news for you, though.
All right.
As you heard in the Red Hot Chili Peppers song to kick off this segment, this is all about being in an airplane. Air travel. We all do it. Mickey, I get the impression you've probably done it more than most.
Probably.
You're probably in the upper tier of people who've done a lot of traveling.
Unfortunately.
So I have no doubt in my mind that you have encountered a couple of these situations probably yourself. E, you've done a lot of plane travel, right?
Specifically, like when I was traveling back and forth when I was going to work in Dallas.
Okay.
It was at least 3 or 4 trips I took there.
Now, I know you don't necessarily like traveling on a plane.
Hate it. Absolutely. It's not necessarily like, I hate it.
See, I've tried to explain the physics to him that the plane is built to stay in the sky. It's not just going to fall to the ground.
Couple tons of metal up in the air. Don't trust it.
Yeah.
Doesn't
okay,
make sense.
Murderer has the same thought process. It's fine.
It doesn't sound like it should work. I'll admit that, but yeah. It does. Science.
Doesn't always work.
Either way, whether you're afraid of flying or not, I personally love flying, and I've flown a ton of times.
You are a monster.
True. I've gone up in tiny planes. I've gone up in jet planes. I've gone up a couple times. So, but everybody hates air travel. You hate going to the airport. You hate standing in line. You hate security. You hate sitting on the plane, getting yourself stuffed into one of those tiny little economy seats.
Yeah.
I flew first class one time, and now economy's even worse because I got a taste of the silver spoon and now I can't go back. But these are situations compiled by travelindustrywire.com. They polled people asking airplane etiquette questions. Airplane etiquette questions. In these situations, how would you respond? So the first situation is, if you saw two airline passengers fighting in flight, what would you do? I have a question first. Are they talking about verbal sparring, or do they mean like physically punching each other in the head?
I'm going to say they mean physical.
Okay, so a physical fight. What would you do?
Me? I would probably
whip out your cell phone and start videotaping it for YouTube, right?
No, because I'm too scared of flying, and I don't want to pull up that phone at any cost, because I know that's going to be the thing that causes me to die.
Oh, right, yeah, because they say don't turn your phones on because it's going to crash the plane.
Oh, God.
What I would do is sit there quietly until a bigger man got involved.
You would just watch.
Yeah.
Silently to yourself.
It's better than the movie they're playing.
Mickey?
If they pass by me, I'd try to trip them. It's pretty hard to get back up once you've fallen in the aisle.
So you're assuming they're in the aisle and, like, in movement, fighting, like, in an action sequence in a movie, and Mickey's like, oh, great, now's my chance, sticks out a leg and trips him.
I'd go for it.
So, Crisco, what would you do?
I would probably, I don't know, I mean, I wouldn't get involved. I'd probably, you know, be like, hey, you, stop that. I might say, but there's no way I'm physically getting involved in that. I'll allow the air marshal or whoever else is more qualified to deal with something like that, deal with that.
Yeah, because you're going to get kicked off the plane.
That's
next.
Right, exactly, yeah, and it's not my problem. So what do I care?
Although they always threaten to kick you off the plane. They can't do that till it lands.
This is true.
You go on a one-way flight, you're good.
They can't throw me out of the plane at 80,000 feet. They could try.
Yeah.
73% said they would call a flight attendant and invite him or her to handle the situation.
Yeah, so what, I mean, basically what we said.
Kinda. I feel like the flight attendant would see this going on already. It is a plane.
Consider if it's a smaller plane, yeah. Sure. If it's one of those gigantic ones with the two floors on it.
Yeah, but you have flight attendants on both floors. True. Always. Because they have to keep an eye on the aisles to make sure that nobody's walking around. So, yeah.
7.8% said they would step in and try and defuse the situation. 1.3% capture the video on my smartphone to share with others.
They're trying to make that money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they want to be the next Chewbacca lady who now has her own action figure. Ugh. See, now that's gotten annoying. It was cute at first. Now it's irritating. Give us money for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Somebody, please. Anybody? We'll take it. Anyway, next situation. If a child was behaving badly on a plane, one that was old enough to understand their actions, and the parents did nothing, what would you do? The parents are doing nothing to control this brat. How do you respond?
See, this is JetBlue's fault, because last month they did a contest mid-air. The first baby that cried and acted up, they got free round tickets anywhere they wanted.
Great, now they're encouraging this kind of behavior. Yeah, that's what we need in flight. Have you ever dealt with a crying baby or an unruly child?
Yes, I've done the typical movie thing, and they were behind me, and I just went, sit down and shut up, and they just went, ugh! They froze. It was perfect.
I do that glare. That, dude, it, like I do it to the parents, like, come on. You gotta say something.
Yeah. I usually do the passive-aggressive thing. You know, where I'll be sitting there and I'll just kind of go, boy, I wonder if anybody's going to handle that.
Oh, so you do it like the Family Guy, like, trying to watch Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, right, yeah, basically. Yeah, essentially. Man, I wish we all could just let our kids run loose and act crazy.
Yeah, no, I just turn around and just scare the kid because that's the best way to do it. The parents aren't going to handle it. They're still not going to handle it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe just threaten to. Maybe I will become the guy in the first scenario when I punch the father in his stupid mouth.
Oh, no. Then I'm going to have to sit there and watch.
54% said call a flight attendant and let him or her handle the situation. I see a pattern here.
Yeah.
Was this multiple choice or were people
probably
allowed to come up with their own options? Sit quietly and say nothing. Say something directly to the parents, 13.4%. Say something directly to the child, 6.6%. So you're in the minority there, Mickey.
Great.
Let's see. If the person in the airline seat in front of you reclined their seat so much that you had difficulty lowering your tray table or were perhaps unable to open your laptop, what would you do?
I've done this one before, too.
What did you do?
I tap them on the forehead and then I politely go, could you please put your seat back up?
See, the only flights that I've been on, the most that the seats went back was like an inch or two.
No, I've been on some that go back quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've never had that problem where, like, I couldn't function. I've heard people complaining about it, but I'm always thinking, like, I've never run into that situation.
I feel like Delta allows you to do, like, a full recline. I know that
really?
The couple Delta flights that I did were full recline. The Southwest ones that I go on, nope, they don't move.
I had this happen once.
You sit in steerage and you don't move and you shut up and enjoy it.
I had it happen once when I was, first time I went to Vegas. It was one of the, a long time ago. And the person reclined back, and Mickey, you're much nicer than I was because all I did was push forward. He went to go to sleep, and I go, okay, there we
Fine.
Go. Yeah.
I've never, like I said, I've never had that situation. What would I do? I would probably, again, do passive aggressive. I would, like, every once in a while, I would pick up my knee really hard and just jam the back of the seat. Just, oh, whoops, sorry. If I had more room, I'd be able to move my legs more.
Yeah.
If only I wasn't so, restricted back here, I might not be, bashing into the seat in front of me.
Of course.
A shame that there's so little room.
Yeah.
Just shout loudly until, again, I become one of the guys in situation one when I get into a physical altercation with the idiot.
You keep going back to situation one.
I do. I don't know why. Say something directly to the person, 27.8%. 27.5, call a flight attendant and let him or her handle the situation.
Poor flight attendants.
Yeah. 5% said they would continuously try to recline their seat. So then you just become a problem for the person behind you. It's a domino effect.
Yeah.
And it just turtles all the way down. It just gets worse and worse as time goes on. Let me see here. If an adult passenger seated near you on an airplane was listening to music or watching videos without using headphones, what would you do?
Oh, my God. I would tell them to stop.
Yeah.
That would
especially
that would
if it's
me
terrible
up.
Music.
It probably would be, and it would peeve me off.
Listen, idiot, Taylor Swift will be there when we land. Or,
whoa, God help me, I hope we crash in the meantime. Hey. There's no reason to bring T-Swift into this.
You shut your mouth.
There is no reason. The haters gonna hate. She was right.
Why?
I don't know.
What would you do, Mickey?
If they were playing music loudly or something else?
Yeah. Watching a video without headphones.
Yeah, probably tell them to shut up.
There you go.
That's one of those things that I've never had to deal with. Most people had either earbuds in or they were sleeping.
Yeah.
No.
What's the worst things we've encountered on flights, though?
What would they do? Call an attendant?
Okay, yeah. Well, number one, 32%, say something directly to the individual. 21%, call a flight
attendant. Yeah! Number one!
Dude, that just seems like that is such a kid complaining to mom and dad or complaining to teacher. Teacher, can you tell Brian to stop doing that? That's basically what it is. Excuse me, stewardess, can you tell that guy to stop behaving like a super jerk? He's bothering me.
Yeah, what babies?
Handle your own problems. You're an adult. But what's the worst thing we've seen happen on a plane? The worst thing that we've encountered?
I mean, I think I pretty much explained it. I'm baby crying, and I haven't had a tragic, terrible thing happen on a plane.
The baby crying, to me, isn't really that bad because you can put in headphones. You can jack into your music and your phone.
No, if they're right next to you.
Oh, right next to you, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I've been on a flight where a kid has just been running up and down the aisle constantly, the entire flight, just up and down. It's like, how does he not get tired? How does he not lose energy? Doesn't he need to stop and eat at some point? This is perpetual motion here that I'm seeing.
You saying eating actually reminded me of the worst thing that happened to me.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not trying to be offensive, but if you weigh a certain amount, you have to buy two tickets.
Yeah.
No, and then that's actually a rule.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
This person didn't. It was one of those small flights where there's only two in a row. I am like, if someone was looking up with a telescope, they'd see my face slammed up against the window like, what a wonderful view. It was awful.
I can see my house from up here and what? Not much else.
Why is Chewbacca sitting next to me? Dinky dinky peanuts.
Yeah. I luckily haven't had any super bad experiences on a flight. Mickey, I'm shocked with all the traveling you've done that you've never encountered anything unique.
There was one situation that was kind of funny where I think the woman was trying to be helpful because there was a woman with a baby. She had a first class ticket and the woman with the baby was sitting next to me initially, but the kid was crying. So this woman goes, well, why don't you sit in my first class seat? I'll trade seats with you.
Ooh.
Which was, fantastic. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, now the people in first class that paid really good money for their tickets are now stuck with a crying child. Like,
you caused one of the problems on that list. Way to go.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then the other one is small children throwing up on planes because it's usually their first ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point.
Gross. That is gross.
Can't we get trains or something? Can they install more trains in this country so that we don't have to fly as much?
I would love that. I don't know why they got rid of it in the first place.
I don't get it either. Yeah. Europe has an incredible high-speed light rail system. Why don't we? I'm sorry. I thought this was America. I thought we were supposed to be world leaders. What's going on?
Where's the trains? Hashtag where's our train?
Hashtag where's the train? Start it trending right now.
And let's get ourselves some choo-choos.
Up next, we read our own obituaries right here on A Freak Accident.
Even when the podcast is over, the show never ends. Join us on social media where A Freak Accident continues all day, every day. Visit AFreakAccident.com and click on connect.
I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that wish we were dead.
I could name 20.
Wow.
Probably off the top of my head.
How many of your friends like you again?
Is that half your friends?
Yeah. You're giving me way too much credit.
I mean, if you're one of those people, though, and you wish we were dead, we're going to help you fulfill part of that fantasy now.
Oh, man.
We decided, it was a couple weeks ago. It was the week that we talked about Muhammad Ali and Kimbo Slice dying. And we realized, 2016 has claimed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought, plus, we've even done news stories about people with awesome obituaries, people who write really interesting stuff for themselves. So we thought, well, it'd be interesting, what if we died, if we wrote our own obituary? How would that go?
And it's perfect, because now we've taken the work away from our family, and now we have it how we want it.
I don't think I'm probably going to make any edits to this. This one that I wrote here for myself is going to be just fine.
Oh, this is solid. Yeah. Mickey?
Yeah. All right. Well, one of those things I could care less about.
Who wants to go first? Who wants to read theirs first?
Mine'll be quick and easy, so we'll go with me.
Quick and easy.
That's it. That's her.
That's her. The way I'm going out.
Mickey was quick and easy. The end.
The end. She puts in it.
All right. So let's set the mood here first.
No. Mickey's dead.
All right. Go ahead, Mickey.
The lights went out a long time ago, but the power finally shut off too. This may be my final resting place, and if it is, it's everything I ever wanted. A hole that I can stay in and not be bothered by anyone. The end.
The end. Yeah. Oh, you're clapping. That's not good. That's not good.
People don't clap at funerals? I do in every funeral I go to.
I don't think they're doing the Arsenio Hall.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Yeah! Yeah! Woo!
I love that part. All right.
Come on.
All right, so who's going to go? You want me to go next, E?
Yeah, let's do this.
That was quick and easy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A hole I could hide in where nobody else will bother me. That's your dream.
I want to be a tree when I die. I'll be good.
They have that now.
I know they do.
Yeah, they can put you in a canister, and they stick the canister in the ground, and you become a tree.
I don't like that at all. What if I become Groot?
Yours is probably going to be crooked either way.
Oh, man. Come on.
Mine's going to be real slippery. Nobody's going to be able to climb it.
He's Crisco. Get it?
It's a joke.
Yeah. So
Crisco. What do you got, Crisco?
All right, so yeah. I'm going to go next here.
Yeah, you dead.
Well, a lot of people who wish I was dead. So, all right, here's my obituary. I don't do that. It's just going to distract me. All right. The man known as Crisco, resident of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, died on, insert date here, while at his home in an old treehouse, surrounded by no one and nothing except a stack of old VHS tapes. Crisco died as he lived, with his mouth wide open. Developed and bred in a test tube in 1935 and grown to adulthood using accelerated aging magic, Crisco was trained as a secret agent in World War II and was actually the one responsible for killing Hitler.
Wait a second. Is this loosely based off of Captain America? Because it's starting to get...
Don't interrupt this obituary.
Oh, sorry. He's dead.
Thank you. Following this, he was reduced back to a single cell and sent into the future, where he was birthed naturally by his mother. At least that's how he remembered it. Born, raised, lived, and died in northeastern Pennsylvania, Crisco was an unaccomplished hack for the majority of his natural and artificial life. He fancied himself a fiction writer, but never published anything. He wanted to be a real estate investor, but ended up foreclosed on his own house twice. He had dreams of being successful in radio. Nope. And he had high hopes that his podcast, A Freak Accident, would come to be enjoyed by the masses. But then he sold the recording equipment for milkshakes. To his credit, however, his milkshakes did bring all the boys to the yard. And they were like, it's better than yours. But I digress. He was a graduate of some high school that no longer exists and went to a community college where he got a degree in something he never used. He loved cheeseburgers and headbanging, but never learned to not mix the two in large quantities, which ended up leading to his entirely timely demise after he gave himself a ruptured spleen and severed spine. What an idiot. None of it matters now, though, because he's dead, and it's unlikely his brief, fractured stint in a local radio station is going to warrant him any memorial awards at the MTV Video Music Awards. A public toss of his lifeless husk into the ocean will be held in 5 hours. Let's just get this over with. In lieu of flowers, please buy yourself a squatty potty.
Oh. So I gotta ask, are the flubs in writing?
Nobody's gonna clap at my funeral.
Yay, it's over!
No, but are the flubs actually in writing?
Of course they are.
Okay, just making sure.
My stupid dope tongue, I would have it no other way.
Yeah, because I always love memorials.
Yeah. Thanks, pal.
All right, I'm going to die now.
All right. You wish.
Thanks, jerks, for crying at mine. Yeah, thank you.
Lazy E died unexpectedly. Lazy E died unexpectedly in his home Monday night. Although he wasn't alone, surrounded by his 17 cats and the echo of Michael Cole, JBL, and Byron Saxton as they attempted to announce Monday Night Raw. In his early years, Lazy E spent most of his time by himself, playing Super Nintendo, as only an overweight, lazy-eyed teenager would know how to do. But as Lazy E started to sprout into a man, so sprout...
Oh, is that flub in there, too? Did you write that flub in?
I waited till the end on yours. But as Lazy E started to sprout into a man, so sprouted his maturity. Instead of wasting his days playing Nintendo, he advanced to PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4, all while making sure he kept active by playing intense games of Uno. Now, while most would consider this enough for his legacy to live on in nerd forums across the internet, Lazy E decided to leave his everlasting stamp on life by having a career in radio. The only industry that would allow an uneducated, unathletic, and mostly annoying human being to succeed. This took him to great achievements as hosting his own show, working with a legendary morning show host in Dallas, Texas, having a battle with alcohol, and dealing with a failed engagement before his mid-30s. In lieu of flowers, the family asked you to make donations in his name to internet cafes, the only place that produces bigger losers than him.
Woo! All right. Cremate.
No. I'm going to rot in the ground.
I want to get shot into space. I've said that on this show before.
Yeah.
Is that the noise it's going to make?
A slingshot.
This is going to sound weird, but listener, if you wished we were dead and you think you could write a better obituary for us,
yeah,
freaks at afreakaccident.com.
Ooh, I kind of wonder, should the three of us write one for Ian? Like, should we collaborate and write one? Because, I mean, he's not here this week, so he's basically dead to me.
Hit the music.
Oh, he's going to go, he's going to freeball.
Ian was a simple man.
With a simple plan.
He ran into doors.
And lampposts.
And probably fountains.
And
shower rods.
Undoubtedly, they won. In lieu of flowers, please donate
to the Archway Foundation.
To education.
That's fine. That'll do just fine. I like that though. Yeah, if you could write a better obituary for us, or if you want to write one for yourself, go right ahead. Freaks at afreakaccident.com.
Yes.
Coming up next, our interview with Trish Stratus, right here on A Freak Accident.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kristen from the Veer Union. And you're listening to A Freak Accident.
This was an opportunity to talk to someone that I was not going to turn down.
Oh, no, this was your dream girl.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, yep, she was my dream, my first celebrity crush.
You see, mine was the pink Power Ranger.
Ooh.
Oh, no, yeah. No, that wasn't it. The first one was some chick on the Mickey Mouse Club. I don't remember her name.
Britney Spears.
Might have been.
Was she on the Mickey Mouse Club?
I'm pretty sure.
Her and Christina Aguilera.
Listen, I never watched TRL, okay? So I never got those little blurbs and factoids that they used to play along with the music videos.
Excuse me, that was called pop-up video, jerk.
Whatever.
Anyway,
Trish Stratus is a legend, and she's got a new movie out, and Lazy E and I, a couple days ago, were lucky enough to get her on the phone and get the chance to talk to her. So we decided to do just that, and now we bring you that interview right here on A Freak Accident. All right, my name's Crisco.
And my name's Lazy E.
This is A Freak Accident, and right now we want to welcome to the show WWE Hall of Famer, fitness model, and actress, Trish Stratus. Trish, welcome to the show.
Thank you for that lovely round of applause.
You're welcome. Now, I got to tell you, Trish, I'm very, very excited to have you here because, not going to lie, this might creep you out a little bit, I don't know, you were my first big crush as a kid watching wrestling, so my heart's a flutter right now. I'm very excited.
Oh, well, I hope I live up to all your expectations then.
I have no doubt that you will. Now, I got to tell you, I'm really thrilled to hear that you're doing so well. I mean, you know, we've got this brand new movie out called Gridlocked. It's available on Blu-ray and DVD everywhere, as well as at TrishStratus.com.
And the great thing about going to TrishStratus.com is not only can you get the DVD, but you can get tips on working out, and God knows I need that.
Yeah, you really do, pal. You
oh,
really
thanks.
Do.
Thanks. Okay.
Now, Trish, you played the character Gina in this movie, Gridlocked. I mean, tell us a little bit about the movie. Tell us about your experience with it.
Oh, the movie was an incredible experience. You know, I was very lucky, obviously, with my second feature film, to get a movie like this with this caliber of actors in it. I mean, I was shocked. You know, I had just signed up with a new agent. And it was funny because I took this meeting with him. Actually, my good friend Adam Copeland Edge had set up this. He had said, "You should meet with my agent. He's in Toronto as well. And why don't you check it out?" You know, and he's been had some success in acting with his show of Haven. So I took this meeting with him, and you know, I knew I was excited to try acting. I had done a movie in 2011, and I enjoyed the process. But in the meantime, I had sort of settled, as you mentioned, a few of my things. I've been, you know, doing my business. I have a new child, and at the time, he was only, you know, 6 months or old or something. So I took this meeting with the agent, and I had sort of set some parameters, like, I'm interested in pursuing this acting thing, but, you know, I gotta say, you know, I have my baby, I have my business, so if maybe, you know, like, I can't fly to L.A., you know, on a dime just because I have these things here, so, you know, if it's the right fit, I kind of just threw it to the universe and did one of those, like, if it's the right thing, if this should be happening right now, then it'll work out. I get a call a couple weeks later, and then he says, well, I think this may fit within your parameters. He's like, it's filming in Toronto, it's an action flick, you're the female lead in it, and it stars Danny Glover and Dominic Purcell. What do you think?
yeah. Danny Glover pushes it over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, super excited about that.
So you work with Danny Glover. I would imagine if it was me, I'd be like that old SNL skit with Chris Farley, where I'd just go up to him and go, "You're Danny Glover, yeah? Cool."
Hey, were you on set? It was kind of like that.
Yeah. So you're basically a new mother when you're doing this. Obviously, the thing all new mothers do is they get training in SWAT. So how did that go? Was your wrestling experience and your fitness experience, did that help you out in that training?
You know, funny, like, I never really think about it. Like, I'm these posts on Twitter. People have seen like some of the trailers and seen some of my kickassery, and you know they're like, "Wow, and you're a new mom. See, new moms can do that too." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I was a new mom," and you know, I really did get back into like fitness mode, of course, because of my background. Quickly, like, I had an amazing pregnancy, but yeah, like, I was definitely in shape. I had got myself back in shape. There was a bit of a accelerated, like, also like, "Oh God, I'm going to be in this action flick. I better kind of like step it up a little bit." So I kind of got my training on to it, like, you know, stepped it up a notch. But I mean, when I got into the training mode with the and spice coordinator, honestly, it's crazy how like, really, like, wrestling, it's part of my blood. It's like riding a bike. It really is like second nature. And he kind of just said, you know, and it's funny because I get this a lot, you know, it's like, "You're a wrestler?" That's like the number one thing I get. "You're a wrestler?" Yeah. Like that, right?
I did want to point out, you know, I noticed that there's a rumor that you guys set a world record with this movie. Most bullets fired on screen in a Canadian film. Was that intentional, or did you just kind of find out after the fact, like, "Oh, hey, greatest action movie of all time"?
Wow, I did not actually know we had that record. I'm totally going to use that. Thank you. you know, the director was just like, he was a huge fan of just action flicks. Like, he grew up watching, you know, Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, as we did too, probably, and just like in love with it. And so when he got into filmmaking, he just was like, "This is the movie I want to make. I want to make it like that old school throwback to that movie." And really, that's what it was. Now, that many bullets being flown, is that because that's what they did back in the day rather than now, I guess? But yeah, that's a pretty good little fact. That's cool because, you know, I do another record. I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the title for the most times as a woman. Now I cannot put another notch in my belt. Cool.
Yeah, 7 times. Now, you're no stranger to movies. I've heard a rumor that you have such a huge movie collection and you keep it in alphabetical order.
My goodness, how do you know these things?
I'm a stalker. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, a little friendly stalking / research for your interview is fine, yeah. Right? So yes, I do. I do have this recollection.
So what happens when you have an alphabetical order? Like, you say you get a movie recently, and
that's
it starts
like the letter L.
Yeah, the letter L, and now you have to, do you have to rearrange everything?
Yeah, that is a bit of a task. Now, my husband is really like, that's kind of his task. I sort of sit back and watch sometimes, but yeah, we do that. We you know, whatever. It's like a collector's thing, right? Like, we like, it's part of the fun, you know, collecting and rearranging your collection and adding to your collection, and it's kind of part of the fun, so... slightly nerdy of us, but yes, it's true.
Listen, I'm obsessive compulsive. I keep all my CDs and movies in alphabetical order, so we've got solidarity in that. So we're cool.
Nice. We can relate.
Yeah, we got this. But now, but what happens on April Fool's, your husband takes it and like puts them all in different order? What would happen to him?
Well, let me tell you. I don't know, but my 2-year-old could maybe get in that scenario one day, so I should probably find some anger management skills regarding that situation.
Now, Trish, are you looking to continue acting? I mean, you know, obviously being a mother is going to take up a lot of time. Are you still looking to pursue acting, though? Because it seems like, you know, we've also heard that you collect movie paraphernalia. You've got a statue of Jim Carrey, I heard, as well. I don't know if that's true, but you really love movies. I think that's evident. Is this something, are you going to do your absolute best to stay in movies moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, I can't believe you know that stuff. That's cool. But we do. My husband and I were just big fans of genres, just all kinds of different movies, right? And we have box sets, and we enjoy collecting them. And so, I'd love to. I really enjoyed the process itself. Like, listen, when I did wrestling, for me, when I would explain what I did, it was like, it really was about producing moments out there. I felt like this is the show, and I'm responsible for this portion of that show and producing these moments. So I love that. I love evoking emotions from a crowd and feeling the energy, you know, when you do that. So I enjoyed the process. I love fighting, let's be honest. I mean, that's part of the two movies I've had the chance to work on is fighting. And I love to explore new fight crafts and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to consider, we'll see what happens next. Yes, definitely, motherhood does take up time, but it's time to squeeze other things in for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Trish, I can't wait to see what you do next. She's a WWE Hall of Famer. She's fitness model, actress, Trish Stratus. See the new movie Gridlock where she plays Gina. Available everywhere on Blu-ray and DVD as well as at TrishStratus.com. Now, right before we let you go, tell everybody where we can find you on social media and all that so we can all collectively follow you.
Without being a stalker, though, right?
Right, yeah, no, sure.
Sure, why not?
On TrishStratus.com is my handle for social media, so you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, obviously. And TrishStratus.com is my website, which, as you said, I'm pretty proud of it. We have a great team that runs it, and we really, you know, have all kinds of... I mean, Liz, we even have our DVD is available there. You can get an autographed copy of Gridlock there.
Yes.
We try to really just, you know, try and cater to my Stratospherians.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Trish Stratus, thank you so much for being on A Freak Accident today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Here's what listeners are saying about A Freak Accident.
It's the best show ever.
Whether those listeners are our moms or not is totally not important.
Excuse me, miss. Hi, I'm Mr. Right. Someone said you were looking for me.
Great pickup line.
You can fall off a building, you can fall out a tree, but babe, the best way to fall is in love with me.
Oh, perfect!
It's the pickup line song by Garrett Cecchini? Cecchini?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, sure. One of those.
Sorry we butchered your name.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, though.
Yeah.
You're lucky we're playing your song in the first place. We have
Good, keep trying.
No, I don't even...
Okay, are you dying?
He needs a pick-me-up line.
I don't know!
I don't know what's happening. I'm kind of confused. We have a bunch of pickup lines here that were left on an Ask Reddit thread. It's amazing the things you see on Ask Reddit sometimes.
There's some useful things. There's also some really weird things.
The question was, has there ever been a pickup line that was so bad that it actually worked? Mickey, you've got a story about an awful pickup line that didn't work, but I still think it's a great story anyway. The I want that story.
Oh.
How did that go again? Because we haven't heard this one yet on this show.
So
anyway.
When I was in the band, I was up on stage and a whole bunch of the locals had come down to watch and some people that we had worked with in the past recording had brought some friends with them. I had a jacket on, and then I had, you know, a tank top underneath, and it gets 9,000 degrees when you're standing on stage, so eventually I took the jacket off. Well, apparently this friend turned to somebody that I knew and said, I want that, as I removed my jacket.
So there's your greatest pickup line of all time. You just go up to someone and say, hey, I want that.
Hey, girls want people that are aggressive. You're doing that right there.
Sure. Definitely.
I had one that actually worked.
On you?
No.
Or that you used and it worked.
And I did it as a total joke because I heard it and I was like, huh, that could actually work because it's not crude.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Mickey, I'm pretty sure you know this one, but just go along with it.
Oh, boy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just had a question. It came up in my class. Do you know how much a polar bear weighs?
No.
Enough to break the ice. I'm Lazy E.
Oh, boy.
I got a number so fast. It was great because they just, it's humor. You're bringing out your humor.
There you go. That's a perfect example of one that's so bad it actually worked.
Yeah.
So we've picked out some of these from this Reddit thread, some of our favorites. We've compiled them and we've decided to share them with you. Pickup lines that were so bad they actually worked. You want me to start?
Yeah, you start off.
Okay. A tall guy looked at me, a tall girl, up and down, and then drawled, couple of tall timbers like you and me could really start a forest fire. He was henceforth known as Tall Timbers. That was from Chippy Toes.
Oh, that's my favorite person in the world on Reddit. Yeah, so you want me to give you one?
A couple of tall timbers like you and me could really start a forest fire.
You like that? That's pretty good.
I do like that. That is clever.
That's thinking on your toes, too.
Your Chippy Toes.
Yeah.
I've never been tall, so I can't empathize with that situation.
Yeah. No, not me either.
I'm a very short man. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you one. This one from my another one of my favorites, Jam Mister. You know he's going to have a good one. I told the guy I liked his shirt. He said, it will look better on you when you wake up wearing it in the tomorrow. In the tomorrow. When you end up wearing it tomorrow.
That's the line you have to try out next time. It will look better on you when you wake up with it in the tomorrow.
I think that would work better than this one.
It might, yeah.
That's pretty crude.
But she's posting it in this Ask Reddit thread because it worked. That's the point. These are so bad that they actually worked.
Wow.
Mickey, what's the next one?
I feel like I've heard this one before. If you were a fruit...
How you doing?
I'm rubbing off on everybody. Nobody can talk tonight.
If you were a fruit, you'd be a fine apple. He said it out of the blue and burst out laughing.
That's why it worked. He admitted right after... No, he admitted right afterwards he thought it was ridiculous. That's why it worked.
No, it says I burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Oh,
He said it out of the blue and I burst out laughing.
Oh, then he's just an idiot.
You're probably drunk.
Yeah.
If you were a fruit, you'd be a fine apple.
I mean, I like it, but I like a lot of things that people don't.
You know what a fine apple needs? A manana.
Damn it.
I'd made it worse.
Oh, my God.
See, so now it should work twice as good then, right? Because that's twice as bad.
Yeah, go for this.
External cream. Add the next comment.
Oh, my God.
I love some of the names people come up with on Reddit. I don't know if this counts, but a guy's Tinder bio had Times New Roman in the streets, wingding in the sheets. And me, being a graphic designer, thought it was hilarious, and I swiped right.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I haven't heard that one before, so that's pretty...
Wingding in the sheets as opposed to Comic Sans? Come on now. Although Comic Sans, that's probably just embarrassing and unwanted.
Yeah.
Graphics designers right now are laughing their heads off at that joke.
Now, I need everybody to sit down and get ready for this one. This one's really intricate, okay? This one's from Travel Tarika. All right? This one actually took
that
some...
definitely is not right, but okay.
Whatever. But Tariki, or whatever it is. This one actually took some intricate thinking and really thought out process. Damn, girl, you poop with that butt?
Poop jokes get him every time.
He's a simple soul, really.
Damn, girl, you poop with that butt. That's amazing. That is genius.
That worked, too.
I know.
That's the thing. It's in this thread because it worked.
How do you say no to that? I'd say yes.
Very easily. No.
I would say yes.
Mickey, would any of these have worked on you that we've read so far? You being of the
Murderer
fairer sex.
Murderer came up with some doozies, so I'd really? Say, yeah, probably.
What one did he use on you that made your heart just quiver?
Oh, I have no idea. I wasn't paying that much attention. We've been friends for 8 years. I'm over. I used to have to drive him home. He was I was his DD, and when he got drunk, it was bad.
Man, I want to get him drunk so bad.
You want to hear some doozies. He's the one to give them to you.
All right, what else do we got here?
Well, let's see. We've got a storyline on this one.
Ooh, stories.
One time as I rounded a corner, I ran smack into some dude, as in bounced off each other. I was all confused and embarrassed, and as I backed up, I stammered, "I'm sorry." He stepped back also, and after looking me up and down, he said, grinning, "You're not sorry. You're fine."
Yeah! Yeah, that dude's great.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Winner, sir.
No, he's amazing.
Points.
He wins the world.
Who was the...
Oh, that was from Five Peas in a Pod.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Last one we got here on this list is my ex so came up to me in a bar and told me I spilled something on my shirt. When I looked down, he flicked me in my nose, went home with him that night.
Duh.
Never mind, wins.
Hey, McFly, your shoe's untied.
He wins. That's perfect.
That was from Lyle Z. Crocodile.
One of my favorites. I bet you he's friends with...
Man.
Alligator. Alligator.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That is awesome that worked.
Greatness. Do you have a great pickup line?
Yes, I'm sure you do, listener. I'm sure you've got a great one, or I'm sure you've heard a story of one that worked on somebody, maybe even you.
That's freaks at a freakaccident.com. We love to hear them.
Freaks at a freakaccident.com. Coming up next, your sports segment.
Sports!
On a freak accident.
If you need to listen to a freak accident, we've got what you need.
Oh, perfect.
You can find us on iTunes, the TuneIn Radio app, Spreaker, Your Nightmares, the Stitcher Radio app, pretty much every other podcast app, or wherever podcasts are downloaded. So pick one. We don't care which one. Just make sure you're listening.
When it came out that Cleveland was trending over the weekend, we could only think of one thing.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1865. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. Flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James.
Yeah.
Buy a house for the price of a VCR.
This is by Mike Polk Jr., who came up with this this fake Cleveland tourism video, which is...
We're not Detroit!
Yeah, that's about all Cleveland has going for it. Until now.
Wow, 52 years without a championship.
One Ohio team's doing it anyway.
Really?
Listen, Ian's not here, so somebody's got to mock you for being a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
What did the Bengals ever do to you?
Nothing. I like them, but I'm saying I'm filling in the gap where Ian Hunter would normally take things over.
Couldn't just leave it alone, could you?
Yeah. You're reducing yourself to Ian? Ooh. The guy who can't get out of a door?
Yeah,
that's your fault.
Cleveland!
And Cleveland, it was trending over the weekend. I don't follow basketball. Not even a little bit. When I saw Cleveland is trending, I'm thinking, what happened in Cleveland? And then I look, and I'm like, oh, wow, the NBA Finals happened. And then, like, the more I started reading about it, I was like, man, this really is an incredibly unique situation because they're the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-1 deficit in the championship, this championship series.
Yep.
Come back and win it. And let's be honest, it was all LeBron.
Oh, I mean, they're supporting characters, but they're not what he did.
Think about this legitimately. What would that team be were LeBron not on the team? Would they even be in the playoffs?
Well, no, because all the good players that went there went because of LeBron.
Right.
That's true. The reason why they went there. They took pay cuts. Let's go to the Cavaliers. Why would you want to go to the Cavaliers?
You're talking about a team 2 years ago were nothing. He came back to Cleveland after spending a couple seasons in Miami.
Yeah.
Came back to Cleveland, and in two seasons, Mickey, brought them to a championship.
That's pretty good.
That's one guy. That's how talented he is. Which begs the question, what was he doing in South Beach? How did he only win, what, two?
Two.
How did only two come out of that when he carried an entire team on his shoulders to the championship?
A lot of egos on that team. They had a power team.
Yeah.
And that's what that's a guess. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I could tell you that game seven was spectacular. The way Cleveland won, it was a last second 3-point shot. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. He played his heart out too. You watched some of the highlights. It was incredible.
Oh, he's crying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he promised Cleveland when he came back. He's like, I'm bringing you a championship. And he made good on his word. And
that's
like you said, first championship in Cleveland, right? In 52 years?
52 years since the Browns won an NFL title.
Yeah,
there wasn't a Super Bowl.
Pre-Super Bowl.
Hmm.
We're talking no Cleveland team. Not the Browns.
Right.
Not the
Indians.
Yeah, definitely not the Indians. And not the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
It's just funny that things our economy's based on LeBron James. It kind of is because they banked on him so hard the last time he played there. And then when he left and went to Miami, there was a whole thing where everybody was burning their jerseys.
Oh,
I bet you wish you'd kept them now. They'd probably be worth something.
And then after the game,
Cleveland!
We were following, me and a couple buddies were following the Twitter feed about Cleveland winning. And there was this one that he was following a scanner because every time a city wins, they go nuts.
Yeah.
And
especially in this case, 52 years, 52 year dry spell.
So I hear things like we're reading things that says gunshots and, you know, people shooting into the air, whatever.
Right.
No one's getting killed. And a couple people smashing windows, getting a little raucous out on the streets. But then I saw the tweet that was verified by a picture Someone just stole a fire truck. They stole a fire truck.
They're riding around Cleveland.
And in case, listener, you're half asleep,
Cleveland!
A fire truck, as in the emergency vehicle, was stolen by people!
In Cleveland. I'm sorry, in
Cleveland!
I mean, they're happy. Good for them.
What if they lost?
I would start a riot in my Listen, if the Minnesota Vikings won the Super Bowl, I would start a riot in my neighborhood. I would burn everything, just because that's what you do when you're excited. You burn.
Again, what if they lost?
Well, if they lost, if the Vikings lost, I'm used to that.
No, I'm talking about if Cleveland lost, what would those people have done?
Probably just hug their heads in shame and gone back to their terrible lives.
Back to the norm.
Yeah, right. Back to being Cleveland for the last half century.
Yeah. But that was on at the same time what I was mainly watching during that time.
Money, 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 money.
The biggest money in the bank in history. That's what they were calling it.
Why was it the biggest in history?
They're talking about because the match quality on that card.
Ah, well, yeah, there was a serious group of good matches. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I really haven't been keeping track of WWE that well lately. That whole announcement of the brand split just took a lot of wind out of my sails, but I missed a show at Money in the Bank from what I heard.
And really, we could just nail it down to the Money in the Bank and the championship match.
Yeah, basically.
The Money in the Bank, that's a match that was stacked. Not normally does it have that many potential winners. I think anybody in that Money in the Bank could have won that match. Okay. You could have argued could have won that match. A lot of, you know, spotty moves. It's a ladder match. That's what happens.
Yeah, they always try to be flashy whenever there's a ladder match. People jumping from ridiculous heights, smashing through things, bouncing off of things. Alberto Del Rio got seriously injured in the match.
Falling
right?
on the top rope and landing on his feet on the top rope and bounced right off.
Ow.
One that really looked like it hurt, but he moved afterwards, surprisingly.
And you said somebody got powerbombed through a ladder that didn't break, and they just bounced off of it like a Super Bowl?
Not the worst thing that happened. Kevin Owens gets slammed on a ladder that's facing up and down on the ground. So he's going, like, picture you're on, the ladder's on its side.
Right.
He hits that. There's no give that way.
No.
That, he just landed and his arms went flat. And I'm like, he's dead. That's cool. But no, it didn't.
That's cool. I saw someone die today.
But it didn't end up being that way because the
Kevin Owens was a large, and, oh, sorry.
No. That was a couple seconds ago. But what he was ended up being okay because the last two people on the ladder, it actually started out all six were on ladders up at the title. After a few stragglers fell off, it was Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. They're both reaching for it. Kevin Owens gets hit off the ladder. Dean Ambrose takes home the win. Great move.
People were excited.
They were excited, but questioning.
Right, because, well, I mean, Dean doesn't exactly have the best track record with creative.
No.
And the thing is, with the Money in the Bank contract, that gives you the ability to challenge for the championship anytime, anywhere, as long as you have a referee.
So let's fast forward to the main event.
Right.
We have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Honestly, I didn't think Seth Rollins had a chance.
But he beat him clean.
Beat him clean in a very good match. Even caught Roman Reigns diving off the top rope. Mickey, you could even appreciate it. Diving off the top rope and caught him in a pedigree. As he was falling down, like grabbing him by the arms and boom, right down. That didn't finish him. Gave him a second pedigree. Over. And I'm sitting there going, pay-per-view's over. Yeah. Dean Ambrose.
The best thing is the crowd went well, first of all, they went crazy when Rollins actually beat Reigns for the title.
Right.
Because everybody hates Reigns. Then when Ambrose's music hit, the place went nuclear.
And then he's waiting for him to come down the aisle. He's sitting there, like, Rollins is like, come on, bring it. And Ambrose comes up behind, hits him in the back of the head with the briefcase. And that's when people went really nuts, because they knew this wasn't a tease that he was going to cash in. He's cashing in. Cashes in, everybody goes quiet. And they're like, they're teasing us again. Ambrose is going to lose this. Like, Reigns is going to come in, and this is when the heel turn's going to happen. Great! No, he hit the dirty deeds and wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I mean, they did it. They pulled the trigger on Ambrose.
All in one show.
Yeah, I know. I mean, people went from saying Ambrose was stale, underused. He was boring, he was underused. Now all of a sudden, he's sitting at the top of the mountain.
In 12 minutes, every member of the Shield held the title.
Ha!
That was amazing how far they came.
And then, of course, we were teased on Raw the following night that there's going to be a Shield triple threat. Ambrose versus Rollins versus Reigns at Battleground. Until news drops that Roman Reigns has now been suspended for, what, 30 days?
30 days.
30-day suspension for violating the wellness policy.
Which Murderer believes is being used for whatever the storyline. Yeah.
There's no way. Because, first of all, they used his real name.
Yeah.
They never have referred to him as his real name. And why would you take a guy that they're trying to build as John Cena, going to make a wish, and if they would have said he's suspended for beating somebody up, storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is for drugs.
Yeah, a wellness policy violation. Yeah, that's serious business. And not only that, this is the guy that they've gone out of their way to try and protect and get people to like.
Right.
You're not going to do him any favors if your storyline having him violate the wellness policy that, so that you could suspend him.
Now, before you get too excited, Battleground is 33 days away, 30-day suspension. He could still technically make Battleground.
Technically.
I don't know if they're going to do it because...
With no build? Yeah.
They screwed up. He screwed up something even bigger. We just mentioned the brand split. He misses that draft.
Yeah.
He will not be back for it. I think with the way Vince gets when people screw up his plans and Triple H, I think this is going to be a tough road. I think that's why he lost the title the way he did.
It could be.
He lost clean. I think Ambrose was always going to win it, but I don't think he was... Reigns was going to lose clean first.
Yeah, it's probably better off this way because the Reigns thing, it just wasn't working. You need to invest in different guys. There's so many more compelling characters and better wrestlers out there. Why are you sticking with Mr. Stale Bread?
Reigns has a part in the WWE.
He's stale bread.
Mr. Stale Bread.
That's exactly what he is. You tell me different.
I haven't been watching. I have no idea.
Of course you haven't. Of course. I forget who I thought. Well, I know Murderer watches all the time, so I figure at least when you're passing
by
through
osmosis.
The room, you're seeing things, out of the corner of your eye. Yeah.
Honestly, I think Crisco, you and I were talking about this. Reigns has a place. He even has a place in the title picture.
Yeah.
But as a Randy Orton.
Yeah, he's not. Roman Reigns is a Randy Orton. He's not a John Cena. You could give him a title a couple times, let him have some reigns. People are going to despise him and everything else. But he's not your top guy. He can't be.
But in the end of the day, they ended up with two potential John Cena's. You got Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
I'm holding out to see what comes of this brand split because I hated that the first time they did it. And when they announced it again, I'm not excited at all. And I'm not happy. But I'll wait to see what happens. Maybe they'll blow the lid off it, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm biding my time. And the reason I haven't been watching it is because I recognize that because of that, none of the storylines happening right now mean anything. Because come that draft, everything's going to be different. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to go right out the window. All the build and everything else. So it's kind of like, why am I going to invest in something that's not going to matter come July?
Well, we'll all find out July 19th, Tuesday.
All right.
Live SmackDown is when the draft will happen, and we'll kind of weed things out about champions and everything.
That wraps up this episode of A Freak Accident. A Freak Accident was a wonderful show. It was a good show.
Now it's time for Mickey to tell the listener.
We're not dying, so turn off the music.
Yeah. We're going to be back next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, what is going to die is her trying to explain all this. Go ahead, hit it again.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, Mickey. Tell the listener what they need to do.
You can find us at afreakaccident.com. You can go to the menu bar and click connect.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, and there they can find our social media links, right? We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Everywhere on social media. Just find us. Follow us. Interact. We're looking for interaction. By the way, we gave you a bunch of stuff to reach out to us with, and what do they need to send it to?
Freaks@afreakaccident.com.
That's the email.
And also, I know we've told you to get us on iTunes, get us on Google Play Music, but make sure to visit afreakaccident.com because those other services, you'll get 10 episodes, maybe a little bit more. You can get the full archive over
every
at afreakaccident.com.
Every episode we've ever done. Yeah. Podcast.afreakaccident.com. Don't forget on iTunes and Google Play Music, subscribe, and on iTunes, give us a good review. Every good review helps us climb higher in the charts. The more higher we get, the more we can do, and the more we can do, the more you'll benefit. So it's like a you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours kind of situation.
As Scott Stapp always told us, can you take me higher?
To a place where, I don't know the rest of the words.
to a place where I've been.
That's all you need.
That's really all you need. Next week on the show, Ian will be back, and he was on vacation recently, and apparently he learned 10 stupid things while he was on vacation. We teased this last week, but then he decided to not be here this week, so maybe next week he'll actually follow through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ian at afreakaccident.com. Yeah. Go ahead and give him hell. He deserves it. Anyway, my name is Crisco. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to us this time, and we hope you'll be back next time. For A Freak Accident, I am Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you,
some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Cleveland!
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. If you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.